Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, getting started with LinkedIn. Here we go. So Mark, would you agree that today LinkedIn is one of those things that you'd say is an essential career tool? Is it that good?
Yeah, it is. And I didn't expect to ever say that. You know, I see it as part of the social media, and I think there's a lot of negatives to the social media while there are certainly lots of positives, and you and I are both in LinkedIn, I just didn't expect to say the word essential. But I think it really is essential nowadays for several reasons. And so, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So if it is that essential, then it's probably not useful to approach your LinkedIn profile in a kind of nonchalant, casual way, right? I mean, there's probably some things to think through. And given its essential nature, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it well.
Yeah. And look, we're going to explain the first steps you got to take. We're going to explain ways for it to support your career. If you've created a profile, you're not sure what to do next. You've got a network, but you're not really using LinkedIn. We think there are some recommendations here that'll get you started. And look, if you're already a super user and there are people in our forums and in our community that are super users, then we'd love to hear your comments on the forums as well. We've got five key points we want to make today. The first one is talking in general about our recommendation. Career Tools does recommend LinkedIn, which is pretty unusual. We don't recommend that much.
We don't, because there are other ones out there, and we don't necessarily recommend those. So
no, we don't. Number two, you've got to complete your profile, and we'll talk about how to do that. Number three, we'll talk about photos. They aren't necessary. You don't have to put a photo up there. And if you do it, you've got to do it right. Number four, we'll talk about connecting with people that you know, and also about being careful about connecting with people you don't know. And then we have some recommendations about next steps. Once you get your profile built and you're on and you feel like you've got it fully fit configured, then you've got to think about recommendations and groups and Q&As and using it as a job board as well.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk about the fact that Career Tools is actually recommending some kind of social networking tool, which is probably surprising for some folks.
Look, LinkedIn is a business-focused social network site. Now, if it were just a social network site, we'd have hesitation. We've already done a MySpace cast where we talk about MySpace and Facebook. In hindsight, we probably ought to call it the Facebook cast because Facebook has eclipsed MySpace. And yet there are still problems on Facebook. And you know, it's funny, Wendy and I and you share stories every once in a while of, you know, yet another person got fired because of doing stupid stuff on Facebook. Yet another person didn't get hired because, and hiring managers are saying, I can't believe this. People just have stuff. Don't they know by now that we're checking? Right? Don't they understand that we're checking? So if it were just a social network site, we'd have pause. But this is a business-focused social network site. And frankly, LinkedIn in the U.S. And for a large swath of the world as well has become the de facto standard for displaying your professional credentials out there on the web. And when I say de facto standard, let's be clear. Not only are recruiters and hiring managers and companies looking at Facebook to see whether or not there are problems associated with you, they're looking on LinkedIn as well to find out connections and so on. They're using LinkedIn and they assume, in fact, 95% I think would assume they would find nothing damning, but more importantly, they want to find something positive on there. It's a way to display your credentials. It's a way to connect. And boy, you and I have certainly experienced that, and we're not even trying really. And it's a great way to maintain relationships. And there are a couple of subtleties to that I think are worth noting. As I said, recruiters love the profiles, either free or paid, to seek candidates with specific skills. They note them. I've gotten requests, but you know, random requests, people not realizing what I do beyond just something in my background. And they say, hey, look, we're looking for somebody with this kind of background. So there really is a lot of value to it. And frankly, I have to say, we try to make everything we recommend actionable. It's not only actionable in this case, it's the value is pretty high and the input is pretty low. I mean, the cost-benefit analysis on putting together your profile and becoming a little bit more active on LinkedIn is pretty darn good. I mean, yeah, it doesn't take that much time.
Right?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Yeah, and look, there are other, you know, social networking sites. We made mention of them. There are some that are focused on business as well. We just recommend LinkedIn as the best of them. And, you know, frankly, 10 years from now, this will probably be superseded. There'll probably be something else. Who knows? Maybe LinkedIn will be different than a lot of companies out there, and they'll remain on top. But this is not so much a LinkedIn tutorial, and it's not. We're not going to talk about the details of how, you know, what buttons to press and what to enter, right? We're talking at a kind of more general level in terms of how to use a site like LinkedIn effectively. And so although LinkedIn may not be the site of choice 10 years from now, the principles involved will still be applicable.
Yeah, we will give some details, but generally speaking, this is about presenting your professional self, right? We've talked before about the representations that are out there, whether you intend them or not, and the representations that you make about you and your life, both personal and professional, and the representations they're out there, right? And we hope you've paid attention. I alluded to problems associated with inappropriate representations earlier, and I'm just amazed that people don't realize this is another complexity of the digital life that we're all living, that you have to manage that. And it's not hard to manage. It starts, of course, with behavioral control. And then it goes a step further than that. Look, they're checking. And I have seen too many cases. I've heard about them personally. Look, people send me resumes and then they say, will you please check on the resume? So I do a quick check. They're not on LinkedIn. They are on Facebook. I sign in with you with the Manager Tools Facebook account, and they're a member or they're associated with us. And I look and I'm like, wow. I mean, this is a person who is friended us. I think that's what you call it on Facebook. And so I can see their profile, and yet their profile, you know, they're smart enough to listen to us. I don't want to pat ourselves in the back here. But then they haven't corrected their Facebook profile. And so I say, look, until you get your Facebook stuff cleaned up, it doesn't matter how great your resume is. They're going to check Facebook, and the perfect resume and an inappropriate or less than well thought out Facebook page is crazy. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's like
at all.
Taking one step forward and like five huge steps backwards.
Yeah. In fact, one person alluded to this. One person kind of chuckled and sort of red-facedly sent me an email and was appreciative of me saying, hey, look, you need to clean that up. And then they said, but I thought they would only look at LinkedIn and Facebook was really private. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And I thought for a second, okay, maybe he didn't listen to those couple of casts, although I hope he did. But I thought, wow. What an incredible leap of faith to make that Facebook is personal and so we don't look. I'm.
Well, it's an invasion of privacy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. I think somebody said it's the Facebook, your personal webpage is the equivalent of your living room on the web. You know, it's, as you say, personal space, right?
Yeah. Well, if you invite your friends or your parents over, you clean up a little bit, right?
Yeah, I actually think, no, I don't think anyone, I think the only reason people claim it's personal space is because they've heard people who have been burned and their lawyers or their representatives or their spokesperson or themselves have said, that's my personal space. And certainly lawyers like the idea of having personal space exist outside of the physical space, because that gives them all kinds of new rights and privileges. But frankly, you can't expect anyone with half a professional brain to think to themselves, this is personal and private, when you do it in order to communicate with other people.
Right.
I mean, if you're walking down a city street, whether you're clothed appropriately or not, the law is clear, folks, in virtually every place in the world, you give up your right to privacy. There is something called an expectation of privacy, and you give up your expectation of privacy when you put something on the web designed to connect you to other people. Right. It's as simple as that. Now, look, we're not saying you have to be on LinkedIn and you have to be on Facebook. If you choose not to be on Facebook, great. You're in good company, at least me. You don't have to be on LinkedIn, although we do think it is a legitimate professional tool, and we do recommend it. We do think it will help your career, and we do think there's not a lot of work involved. And we do think that LinkedIn doesn't give you as many opportunities as Facebook or MySpace to make a mistake that's going to be damaging to your career. But look, if you're going to get involved in these kind of things, you've got to use a modicum of common sense. It's that easy. That simple.
Yeah. So the same rules apply, whether using Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, any social networking site, you don't know who's visiting, right? And if you're friends with folks, okay, then you know, right? But particularly on LinkedIn, you've got to assume that anybody can see your information. So your online home, if you want to think of it as your home, has got to be tidy all the time. No scary photos, no swearing on your statuses. And if your friends are embarrassing and they're, you maybe need new friends, but at least don't have them participate on your page. That is, in some sense, something akin to your professional resume.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So look, why is it important you have a LinkedIn profile? We do recommend it. It's taken us a while to get here, but we feel like it's become a de facto. It's a part of professional communication in a way. It's not a niche anymore. Recruiters and hiring managers use it to find candidates. Even if you're not looking for a new role, allowing others to find you and talk to you about roles allows you to keep up with the market and maybe the conduit to a new role in the future. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. No matter how happy you are in your job, you ought to be thinking about your next job. And it doesn't have to be in your present location, in your present company. Look, there's all kinds of benefit to staying where you are, to getting promoted. It's easier in most organizations to work on getting promoted than it is on getting a promotion while leaving. Right? We've said before, that's a hard thing to do. Now, if you don't like your organization, right, that's different, but it's easier to stay. And so we don't recommend you just leave whenever the heck you want, willy-nilly. But look, I have to say the big thing for me is it provides an easy way for people to stay in touch with me. One of my personal pet peeves is people sending me a note that's automated. And Frank, I'm fairly certain it's automated from other systems saying, would you please update all of your personal information for me? In other words, Mark, I'd like to stay in touch with you. Would you please make it easy for me to do that? No, if you want to stay in touch with, and by the way, that's the only note I get from them once a year.
Yeah.
If you want to stay in touch with me, by gosh, stay in touch with me. But don't have your system send me a note saying, please update where I live and what my home phone number is. And I get a note and I've left my home phone number off because nobody knows my home phone number. And somebody actually, the system put a note back. Did you forget to include your home phone number? And I thought, what? Did I forget? No, I didn't forget. So look, in addition, there are groups on LinkedIn. And in fact, Manager Tools has one. Actually, we have two. We have Manager Tools on LinkedIn and we have Manager Tools China, I think, as well, right? But yes, it's a subgroup, I think, of Manager Tools.
Yes, exactly.
On LinkedIn. They're good sources. We have started interacting there as well. We prefer the forums because everybody hears our comments, but frankly, we feel like providing value to people on LinkedIn is a good thing. But look, the most important thing is it demonstrates somebody, when you have a profile on LinkedIn, it makes clear you're aware of the existing and reasonable forms of professional communication about your career. And it also means you're proactive about your career, and organizations generally like that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's talk about some of the steps involved in being professional and doing this properly in a way that's going to get you the results you want in terms of building your network or finding a job that you'd find professionally rewarding and interesting. And the first step is you got to complete your profile, right?
Yeah. Look, the profile, what they call the profile on LinkedIn, is the information that people who are looking for you will see. Now, don't mistake the people who are looking for you phrase as being only recruiters, only hiring managers. It's also colleagues, associates, and friends. I mean, I just got a couple of notes. One from Tommy Girard, a West Pointer, a classmate of yours and mine. And, you know, we would not have connected. Tommy's a developer in Chicago. And I think very highly of Tommy. In fact, I wrote a note back to him saying, not the Tommy Girard, because I remember him very, very fondly from school. And then because of that, it happened to mention other people I might know, one of whom was Steve Boston, who I played volleyball with at West Point a number of years ago, who's just one of the neatest guys I've ever known, positive-minded, just a fabulous guy. He's still a colonel. He's a colonel and still in the Army, and as no surprise to me, very, very successful, which I would never have connected with, never. And frankly, I don't have time to reach out to all the people I want to reach out to. And this makes it much easier to do so. So now, do I see Tommy and Steve as hiring managers or recruiters? No, although I never really make that distinction. I just think of my network, and at various times, virtually anybody in my network could be a hiring manager or could be a recruiter, not necessarily for me, but for other people I might know. So the profile is the place, is the information on LinkedIn that people are going to see, right? And you have space in that profile to include your employment history, your educational history, and then, of course, links to other profiles like Twitter and websites and so on. And I actually think on your and my profile, Mike, we actually have a link to the Manager Tools website as well.
We do, yes.
Now, so at a minimum, you need to complete your profile with your employment and your educational history. You've got to have those two things. And we generally shy away from advice about keywords. We find keywords to be oversold. A number of years ago, companies, for those of you who haven't listened to the Resume Cast, a number of years ago, companies started going with resume systems because recruiters, hiring managers said to technology people, you know, I need a way to scan because I find that I'm always scanning for keywords. And so resume systems were invented to scan for particular keywords. And then, unfortunately, resumes went through a revamping, a popular revamping where people front loaded all their keywords at the top of the page. And if anybody's making that recommendation to you, feel free to send Wendy a note and ask her what she thinks about that, because she'll tell you in no uncertain terms, no, not only no, but heck no. It's just wrong. On the other hand, when it comes to a LinkedIn profile, using some keywords is valid. Now, we're not suggesting you lard it up with keywords, but think for a minute about what recruiters or anyone else interested in connecting with you might use as a search term to find you, and ensure you include those kind of things in your profile. You know, Mike's were Mike in the job market or thinking differently about his LinkedIn profile. And to be fair, Mike and I's profiles are probably not the ideal ones to look at because we have no intention of ever changing. And we don't see ourselves. We made a decision 5 years ago to never change jobs. And if we do, we know enough people that we don't think that we'll have a problem finding another job if for some reason I do something stupid and the company collapses. But the fact is, having keywords, in Mike's case, something like senior IT executive would be the kind of thing that would be looked for and Mike would want to have on his profile. I wouldn't have anything so impressive as that. I thought at some point you're going to laugh about this, right? That I'm talking about your profile.
Yeah, I'm chuckling. I'm just not chuckling. I'm laughing inside.
Yeah, there you go, laughing inside. Yeah. You high C's, that's just the way you are, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And look, starting your profile, folks, and not completing it is worse than not being on LinkedIn at all. I tell you what, Wendy told me it says to her, this person starts things but doesn't finish them. Or worse, it says, I didn't understand how this system worked. Now look, it's going to take a couple of hours to complete your profile. So put some time aside to do it. On the other hand, it's going to be very easy to update, and we still encourage it. We still think, even though it takes a couple of hours, the value is such that you get more bang. It's a good cost-value proposition. Okay? So take the time, complete your profile. And by the way, they have a very nice little slider on there, or bar that says, this is how complete your profile is. And that gives you a good feedback about whether or not there's more to add. And LinkedIn actually asks you, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this?
Yeah. Now, earlier I said that LinkedIn is something akin to your resume, but in fact, it is not your resume, right? And unlike your resume, which is targeted at a specific role with a specific employer, your profile has to have a broader appeal. So you go back a little bit. If you haven't listened to any of our resume cast, you won't know because you won't have heard it, but we believe that resumes are very specific. You create a document, something like a resume that has all your experience on it, all your history.
Right.
And then for a specific job with a specific employer, you customize it. So it's not you don't create one resume and send it out to everybody, every employer,
right,
and every job you're looking at. So this is different though. LinkedIn is not the same. Your profile is not customized to every individual looking at it. And so it has to necessarily have a broader appeal.
Yeah, I think One of the ways I think about, you know, what you're referring to, of course, is our concept of the core document, right? That you're constantly adding to your core document. It's literally a detailed history of your professional experience. And then you cull from that the things you want to position with a particular employer while not essentially picking and choosing and leaving out large swaths of stuff. We really need to do a cast on the core resume document or the core document. So in that sense, you're right. It's more like your core document, although certainly not as voluminous, and less like the individual resume. The problem is when we say it's not your resume, people think, oh, it's not a document that describes my professional life and so on. In fact, it is. It's just not the resume that most people send, right?
Right. Yeah, and some of the rules, there are some very specific rules in terms of how you do resumes, and you get a little bit more leeway when it comes to LinkedIn. Like, for example, yeah. In your resume, if you had 6 months in a job that you didn't do well at, or you didn't like, or for whatever reason, you didn't want to talk about it, if you left a 6 month gap in your resume, that's not good, right? LinkedIn, you have right. an opportunity to do things like that. You don't have to have every single I dotted and T crossed when it comes to LinkedIn.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it needs to include the information that recruiters and hiring managers would want, which is essentially, and I'm going to say this once, but I'm going to say it very slowly. I've said it 10,000 times in my life, and I will continue saying it because fundamentally, this concept drives all hiring in the world. There are many other things that play a role, but the fundamental thing that will drive all hiring for the rest of your life is, what have you done and how well did you do it? That's the key. You've got to have that in mind in order to put together your profile. Now, look, we don't recommend summaries or objective statements on resumes, right? The person who you sent your resume to knows what you want, a job with them. Since LinkedIn is a little broader than that, you can use a summary statement to give anyone an understanding of your career history and goals, okay? Managers and hiring managers and recruiters have told us, we don't see LinkedIn as a resume. We don't look at it exactly the same way, okay? Somebody said to me, the example, they told me, it's been about a year ago, I was at a conference, and they said that our resume cast changed their life because they changed their resume and they got a way better job because their old resume hadn't been selling well. And the thing they said to me is, Mark, he says, here's the analogy his wife had given to him about resumes versus electronic or digital systems like LinkedIn or Facebook. She said, it's one thing to tell somebody I'm putting on my shirt or I'm putting on my pants. You can largely call that getting dressed. And getting dressed accurately describes, and if you said I'm putting on my shirt, people would understand that. That's part of getting dressed, right? But it is a mistake to think that putting on your shirt is this, you do it exactly the same way as putting on your pants, unless you would put your shirt down on the floor and stick your legs into it one leg at a time. You wouldn't do it, right? And so when recruiters are looking at you, don't think they're looking at you. They're looking at your resume, or they're looking at something else. They're looking at your resume, or they're interviewing you, or they're phone interviewing you. Now, that's not to say that beginning hirers, don't sort of mash it all together and say, I'm just looking for a good person. No, but efficient and effective professional recruiters and hiring managers think of your resume as one thing and your digital profile as another thing, and they look at it differently. Yeah, some of the same basic principles are the same, and yet much of it is different. And that's why we're doing this cast. If it was just the same, we would just say, hey, look, it's just like a resume, put it up there. So look, because it's broader, you can use that summary statement. And look, if you've got a less than linear career, your summary statement can be a way to mitigate the fact that if you've kind of had two sub-careers in your life, it doesn't send the wrong signal to somebody. You can characterize that a little bit differently, give it a little bit high-level overview that helps somebody say, oh, I understand why this person made the change they did. And the point is, you need to take the time to create a cohesive, comprehensive paragraph which sells your skills. Now, that's if you're doing some sort of an objective statement or overview. You don't necessarily have to do that. And look, you can look at others whom you know in order to get a sense of what works and what doesn't work. And I suppose at some point we'll try to figure out a way to help you with that. Maybe we'll include it as part of the resume service that Wendy does. Now, look, if you're currently employed, be very careful about what you write. This is a key caveat to your profile. This is a public forum. Your manager could read it. In fact, you should assume your manager will read it because you will end up being connected to your manager. Okay. What will happen is somebody else in your company will say, oh, you're on LinkedIn and connect to you. And through randomness, they're going to know your boss. Okay. If you wouldn't say what you're writing out loud in person to your boss, don't write it. Now, I think bosses will generally give you a little bit of leeway around what the U.S. Supreme Court would call puffery, which is advertising. And yet, when your boss reads a resume that says highly skilled, professional, and technical, so on and so on, your boss will probably chuckle a little bit. And yet, they'll be reminded that's probably similar to what their resume says.
Right, exactly.
Although I have had one guy tell me once, my boss read my stuff and said, wow, that's really good. You know, I never got your resume when we hired you, but you really sound good. And the guy said to him, well, do you think it's not right? And his boss says, no, actually, it's right. It's just, that's how you would sign in an interview. That's how you would sound in an interview. He says, I kind of thought, wow, I mean, you could say that in an interview and suddenly you're more appealing to other folks. And the guy said, well, kind of good. And the boss says, yeah, I guess, you know. But the boss wasn't mad about it at all. The boss just recognized, hey, one of my guys that I take for granted sounds better on paper, and I can't argue with what he had on paper.
Yeah. And you gave the caveat for folks relative to their bossing. But if you're a boss, you've got to assume that your directs are going to see it as well. So another...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I don't know if you're a boss. If you're a boss, and you got, you know, folks underneath you, some statement about you looking for new opportunities is probably not what you want spreading through your organization. So you got to be cautious about what you say here.
Yeah, and I'm frankly, my experience is that people don't go on LinkedIn and only look for people who say, I'm looking for a job. In fact, we'll talk a little bit later about those settings, the comments you can make about your status, if you will, your professional status. And I generally don't recommend looking, you know, I recommend you leave that blank. We recommend leaving that blank in general.
Yeah. So, okay, so we're giving some general advice here, but our audience is so varied. Perhaps a small example will help.
Yeah, okay. So you might say, I'm quoting now, a passionate project manager, I have managed design, development, installation, and upgrade projects nationally and internationally up to $40 million. I qualified in Prince 2, but I have knowledge of and experience using other methods. I spent 9 years working in outsourcing centers such as India and Poland, giving me experience I currently use to help me manage outsourced project milestones more effectively. 2 years in sales early in my career gave me the skills I use today to ensure my clients get the best service I can deliver.
Yeah, well, that's relatively short, right?
Yeah, and I like the fact with this one that this person positions the sales experience as a positive rather than worrying, how does my change in careers, how is it going to affect me?
Exactly. It's short, but it covers skills and experience that make this manager stand out from peers, right? And you absolutely have an opportunity here to stand out. In this case, he can manage any type of project. He's qualified. He has international experience, which is a huge plus, and he's great with customers.
Okay.
Can we hire him?
We have a slot for somebody like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so look, think of those things which separate you from your peers. Industry experience, geographical experience, experience from another sector or another specialty, anything with budgets, with management, team leadership. Those are the kind of things that are going to get you noticed.
So now let's go back to employment history. It's not a resume, so what do we got to consider there?
Yeah, so this feels more like the resume, because what you're going to do is you're going to add to your profile, your employment history is part of your profile. You're going to add to your profile your previous roles, right? There is an industry box for each role that you add. You know, ensure that you choose one that recruiters or others who are wanting to connect with you will be looking for. For example, you might be in the mining industry, but in the marketing department. If you want to get job offers in marketing, you want to put your industry, the industry that you're in, as marketing. Now, you could argue that you're not in the marketing industry, you're in the mining industry, but frankly, that would have been true 30 years ago, and you would have said your job is marketing, but your industry is mining, and industries really tended to be fairly vertical in terms of their hiring. People didn't change industries. That's changed. And frankly, I'm probably preaching to the choir to the young folks in the audience who say, no, I've never been in any particular industry. I'm just in the marketing industry. Well, just so you know, senior hiring managers don't think that way. And so we want to be clear. We want to tell everybody, both those experienced people and those people who are newer to the professional world, you can choose either one, and it's completely acceptable today.
Well, it is also important to know that when folks are looking for folks with marketing skills, they're looking under marketing, not mining.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. In fact, look, the way we say it, hopefully people realize it. When you say that you're in the mining industry, you're essentially not saying you're in the marketing industry, right? It's a choice you're making, and it's a statement. It is perceived as a statement of desire as much as it is of where you are or the type of jobs your company does.
Right. And look at, if you're in marketing and you're a marketing professional and you don't see yourself as being able to market outside of the mining industry, well, then we might suggest that you need to broaden your scope a little bit. So, you know, completing your profile is much about thinking about what the people you hope to connect with are looking for as it is about giving information out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, look, you don't necessarily need to add all of your previous roles. Okay. And this is where I mentioned earlier about the bar that tells you how much of your profile is completed. And I think at one point I looked at the bar. I thought, gee, I don't have enough of my stuff in there. And then I thought, no, I really don't want to include everything. It doesn't have to be a complete history. On the other hand, you don't only want to add your last role. If you only add your last role, if you only add one, it's going to be perceived as you're hiding something, and people are going to want, recruiters, hiring managers, and frankly, others are going to want to know more. You need to add as many roles as make sense in your career story, okay? If you're currently the VP of sales in a middle-sized firm, readers are going to ask something along the lines of, how did you get there, right? So add in your sales manager and your sales associate roles to demonstrate a career story, if you will, of a successful, ambitious, professional salesperson. You don't need to add your summer job at McDonald's because isn't necessarily part of the story. Or you don't need to add the 5 months you spent after college trying to be an accountant. One of the best things about LinkedIn is you do get to make some choices that you don't with your resume. Now, Wendy and I and Mike, and we could be wrong. We do not believe that in 30 years, what is happening in the digital space will so infect the resume space that resumes will become a career story. We believe that the risk of bad hiring, effective companies know the risk of bad hiring is such that you wouldn't want the document that represents a candidate to be only their story. We don't just want to seek positives. We also want to avoid negatives. And we've talked before about the 2x2 matrix. I think it's Horseman's Wager Horseman's Wager is for the candidate. But for the company, you know, do you want a great person or do you want to avoid a bad person, right? Most companies would say, the first thing I want to do is avoid a bad person. The really, really, really great companies would say, no, I want a great person, and I'm going to put in place systems that will keep me from hiring a great person who has something that would prove to make them bad later. So we don't think that there will ever be an elimination of the full career history document, which we now call a resume or in many parts of the world, a CV. We don't think that goes away because the mid-sized and small-sized companies will always want to be bigger and great. And great companies, the big companies that are great, have very, very strict hiring standards. And so they're not going to want to just find somebody who's good. They're also going to definitely eliminate all those who are bad. We want a bad hire is twice as bad as a good hire is good if you overdo the number of bad hires you have. And so just to be clear, don't make the mistake of thinking, I just did my LinkedIn profile, so now I'm going to go ahead and redo my resume, and carry over that thinking to your resume, because they're two different things. Now, that said, okay, I want to be clear about the high level. That said, when you do add your previous jobs to your LinkedIn profile, you follow the same format that we recommend with resumes. You have a couple of prose sentences which describe your role, and then you put in a bulleted list of accomplishments. You have prose for the responsibilities and bullets for the accomplishments. This is an enormous misunderstanding for the vast majority of people who have resumes out there who don't follow this. If you don't have that on your resume, and therefore, as a matter of carryover into LinkedIn, you are making a fundamental error which makes your resume stand out in the wrong way. Now look, if you need to, go back and refer to our resume casts where we talk about exactly how to do it and why to do it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll have a link in the show notes to that. So if you want to go find that easily, you can find that on the website.